This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I can't believe it. I kept going, OMG, OMG, OMG. I can't believe it. It's already Conversations with Carol Show. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reiberger. And today is, as quickly as it came about, another Conversations with Carol Show. And what that really means is, no specific topic that I'm going to be featuring. However, I do love the topics. So if you have a suggestion for a radio show, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and I'll review those topics. I'll put them in the line of shows that I have planned, and then we can do that. But today is all about you and I just chatting, me talking about this energy that we're all dealing with right now. And just having fun connecting, and then me being able to share either whether I'm doing it from a physical standpoint or I'm doing it from an energetic standpoint, emotional or psychological. That's a nice thing about intuition, is that when you tap into it, it can provide you answers on many, many different levels. As a medical intuitive, I've really honed my intuition to the point where I connect at the physical body level to just kind of run an analysis of what's going on and seeing where a person's body is. Is the body in harmony? Are all the systems and organs and glands talking the way they need to? Do we have any kind of energy congestion breakdown? Is the brain and the body not communicating the way that it needs to? So again, I can share my intuitive skills in many different ways for you. So if you do have a call for me, since it is a conversations with a topic for me, and you want to call me today, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S. and international Canadian callers. All you have to do is, if you do require an international calling code, just enter that, and then 877-230-3062. I found an interesting thing in the last couple months when I've been doing my readings, and I wanted to share that with all of you. For anyone who has been thinking about doing a reading and maybe kind of sitting on the fence or waiting for the perfect time, whatever it may be, and all of those things are certainly part of the process of getting a reading. But in the last couple months, I've really found that I've had a lot of past life information come forward that really has relevancy to the reading that I'm doing with a person. And one of the things that I found consistently in these readings in the last couple months is that people have been working on trying to move ahead, get beyond that feeling stuck, trying to figure out what's holding them back, maybe a fear, a phobia, something that just seems kind of out of reach that they can't really get in there and get a handle on to figure out why that is there. And one of the things that I always do before I do a reading on someone is I always connect at a soul level, and I ask their soul, is there anything from past lives that has relevancy to the reading today? Sometimes I get information, sometimes I don't. But as I said in the last couple months, I've had a lot of past life information come forward that I can share that I've found and the person has found really helps them move beyond that blame shame that they're feeling in this lifetime, not being able to really get a handle on the permanent change that they're looking for. Now, one of the things that I always share when we go in and we start looking at past lives, and again, I try to be very sensitive to people's beliefs around reincarnation and so forth, so it's not ever to undermine any of those beliefs. But one of the things that I have found is that when we transition from form into light, we actually keep a experiential, vibrational, emotionally charged, but not really emotionally charged as we think of it as a human, a vibrational imprint of the experiences in our life that will be used for future incarnations. And so what I say to people is, you know, we may not be able to go back in a history book to the 17th century and voila, there you are. But what past life regression does, or connecting with past lives, is that it helps you put some conscious sense to something that you can't work with. And how you know that the past life information has relevancy to where you are is that you will feel it physically. I can share information about that past life. And again, you may not have a conscious awareness of it, but if I say the words and bring expression to it, and it's something that vibrationally is imprinted in the cellular DNA of who you are at that soul level and a part of your life's work on this earth plane and personal work, then you will feel a sense of emotion or a sense of relief in having that information. So I just wanted to let you know that I am really working. I mean, the readings, they just are always changing. So if you've been thinking about a reading and you're interested in soul's purpose, and maybe you don't have anything medically that's going on, but you want to know your soul's purpose, you want to understand why the people who are in your life are in your life, and why do you get these mixed messages? Why are some of them cheerleaders? Why are others in your life? No matter what you do, it never seems right. Then, or you're interested in getting unstuck, this is where the past life information can come forward. So when we come in and we look at the information in a reading, I'm going to encourage you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com. You'll notice in the upper left-hand corner on the tab, click on readings. You'll see personal reading. Click on it. It'll give you an idea of what the cost is for the reading. The readings are an hour long. I'm not bound by the clock. If your guides and angels have things that they want you to hear, your soul is still chatty-chatty, I'm chatty-chatty also. So again, you'll get all the information on readings, the cost of the information, how to work with it, how to book. All readings are booked online. And then what I will do is I will connect with you the week before the reading. I'll get a sense of who you are energetically. I'll ask all my questions. I'll have a meeting with your soul, and then your soul guides me into sharing the information that really can help you grow into that authentic, pure human being that you're capable of becoming. So again, if you're interested in readings or you've been thinking about it, go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And when I'm going in and we're looking at any of those questions and things within a reading, is that there is a cost, so please be aware of that. And I do readings from all over the world. So yeah, we do it where I record it, and you get the download, and then you can listen to your soul over and over and over. So if you're interested, just go to ritberger.com. One of the things that I always do when I'm doing this Conversations with Carol show is I always go to my guides and to the council in the universe, and I'll say, okay, sneak preview, I need to know what I'm going to be doing for the show today. What can I share with people that has any relevancy to the energy and where we are right now? And the guides and angels always speak in metaphors. They're absolutely phenomenal storytellers. That's one of the challenges that we have in working with our helpers, is that they aren't always like black and white and in our face and so forth. They talk in visions, they talk in metaphors, synchronicity, coincidences, epiphanies, all those different things. So I ask them today, so boy, the energy right now, as I said to them, is really, really getting more finite. And I know I'm personally struggling with trying to make sense of what this clarity means, and how am I supposed to get clear enough to be able to take the steps forward. And of course, it's always about me when I enter into this. But it really goes beyond that as they start talking to me. And here's what they shared today. They shared that the energy right now, and the energy of 2013, is all about clearing. It's all about letting go of the limitations that we have that keep holding us back and keeping us vibrationally out of sync with ourselves. And so the energy of 2013 is all about clearing, it's all about getting clarity, and it's all about moving forward. And they went on to say to me that in our humanness, we have, over the course of our consciousness and the evolution, we've become very, very adept at noticing the boulders in life. And we've moved beyond that boulder syndrome, as they called it, to where we started recognizing rocks in our life. And over the course of the last 10 years of this particular millennium, of going in and looking at 2003 and beyond, we've actually shifted our perception from the boulders and the rocks to looking at the landscape. He said, where you are now energetically is it's bringing you back to the now for you to discover the pebbles in your life. And then where you're moving into in 2013 is that you will, at the end of this year, you will be down looking for the grains of sand. And so I took a deep breath, as you just heard me take that deep breath right there, and I thought, okay, so the metaphor, what is the metaphor of this story? And, of course, is the way that we work with the metaphors when our guides and angels work with us is that we relate it to our life experiences. So as I was opening up into that place where I could take their metaphor and the analogies and really apply it to my own life, because that's where it has to start, and then how can I take their metaphor and analogy and share that with others to be of value, what I started realizing and what they kept saying as I was moving forward is they kept saying, in the evolution of human consciousness, we have always been guided by our humanness to look for those big boulders that get in our way. Those big boulders are our past. They are all of the experiences that we have and that we have had that have emotional charge to them. They are the parts that at the time we bump into the boulder, we think, you know, I need to remember this boulder. I need to remember where it is. I need to remember the path that I'm on that bumped me into this boulder, and that boulder represents a lot of emotional charge. They went on to say that the energy where we have been is that we have evolved in our consciousness and our perception of ourself, and we have decided in the course of this moving forward in personal growth and spiritual evolution that we're now adept at the boulder bumping, but we needed to really go in and look at the rocks. And the metaphor of the rocks are that the boulders, once we bumped into them and we broke them down and we removed the charge, they merely became rocks along the path. We could bump into the rock if we're not paying attention to where we're going. That's that clarity. Or what we can do is we can be heads down, meaning be in our humanness, using the inner wisdom of the soul to be able to see the rocks before we stub our toe or stumble upon them. So the boulder to the rocks they were sharing is really the evolution of consciousness and their way of saying, great job. And they said what we have done as humans in the course of the last 3 years, going into the 2010, even going back into 2009, what we did is that we shifted from the boulder and the rocks to looking at the landscape, looking at the future. Where do we really want to go? What is that bigger picture? What is our destiny? What do we want our life, our relationships, our jobs, our financial situation to really look like? And we became very future-oriented. And the gift of that was so we could see beyond the bumping into the boulders, recognizing the rocks, being head down to the point where we felt like we couldn't figure out what the future was. And we shifted our perception to this bigger picture. The issue that they shared with looking at the bigger picture, while it's an important part of the personal growth, is that we can get lost in the bigger picture and become unclear of the steps that we need to take along the way to get us to that landscape. And they shared that if we looked down and came back to the present moment, all of those boulders, all of the work that we've done psychologically, spiritually, personal growth, understanding ourselves and so forth, have really got down to a more finite, which are the pebbles. We usually, as they say, you usually find pebbles in a riverbed, or you're along the coast in certain parts of California or even on the East Coast, where rather than sand, you have pebbles. The pebbles, they say, in the way that we look at them, if you can envision yourself in a river bed, a creek bed, with the water flowing, walking among the rocks, not wanting to trip because you will fall, looking at the pebbles. They said, as humans, you are always looking for that perfect pebble. And that is the gift of conscious evolution, and that is the gift of being in the now to recognize that there is beauty no matter what riverbed you are in. What they said where we are now is that as we're looking for those pebbles, we tend to turn up a lot of pebbles hoping that underneath we're going to find that one beautiful pebble. In doing so, we're not even aware that we are in maybe someone else's riverbed looking for our perfect self in that riverbed, and what we find is miles and miles of pebbles that don't belong to us, that basically when we turn them over, they don't give us that satisfaction that comes from the being in our own riverbed. So they shared is that while you're looking for pebbles, be consciously aware of, are you in your riverbed or are you in someone else's? And if you're in your riverbed, you're going to notice that the pebbles that you see in that riverbed are literally going to help you see all of the beautiful pebbles you have in that bed. You won't have to turn over pebble after pebble. You won't have to look below those rocks. You won't have to do the things. The real challenge will be, which pebble do you want? You'll pick it up. You'll look at it. Each pebble represents an aspect of who you are in this soul beauty that you have and the perfection. And what you do then is you start looking not for that perfect pebble, but you start picking up pebbles. That gives you pictures of who you are. It helps you realize you're in your own riverbed. You're doing your own work. You're not being trapped in someone else's riverbed, wondering where yours is. Why can't you find those pebbles that you're looking for? And then where, you know, what's going on in your life. That's when we feel stuck, they kept saying. You feel stuck when you're in the, you know, a riverbed that isn't yours. Keep looking, 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 looking. You can't find the pebbles that you know that are there. So they say part of the energy of where we are right now is that it's time for us to step, bring our head up, look at the big landscape and say, and ask, are we in our own riverbed or are we in a riverbed of our parents or our past or our siblings, whatever it may be. And if you're in the wrong riverbed, they said there's the clarity. Take the step forwards and find your own riverbed. And when you get in there, you will find this plethora of beautiful pebbles. And no matter which one you pick up, it will have a beauty about it because it will reflect you. Now they said, so, but here's where they, so they said to me, now, but here's where it's going. And it's like, oh man, really? This is where, I mean, I'm just happy. I'm saying, okay, I'm going to find my riverbed. I know there's pebbles there. I mean, I could feel this kind of elation, this enthusiasm, this inspiration, this courage to be able to keep doing the pebbles and looking for them and find my riverbed and all these different things. And they said, but here's where it's going. And the gift of the guides and angels and the councils on the other side is they always bring us into the now, but they also will take us into that bigger picture so we can see where we're headed. They said the energy that's going to continue to progress in the year of 2013 is that by the time you hit the end of the year, and they didn't say 12, 21, 13, but the end of the year, you are going to be down looking at the grains of sand. They said the metaphor of that is so you can see how much you have worked, how you have released, how you have trusted yourself. And the boulder to the rock, to the pebble, to the sand is an indicator that you have reached in whatever place within your life in that moment, relationship, job, career, financial, doing things that you love, whatever it may be, when you get to that grain of sand, then you will have the clarity that you're looking for to enter into 2014, which is the year of healing. And the year of healing is so you can become your authentic self. So I thought about that and thought about how am I going to share that? What does that really mean to me and to all of us? And one of the things that I realized is that in most cases, the sand is so abundant and overwhelming, all we do is walk on top of it and never stop long enough to look at it. If we picked up a handful of sand or filled our bucket as we were a child on the beach with that sand, there would be a tremendous amount of sand. The representation is a tremendous amount of the boulder that was broken down so you could see how well you've done in your progress. And they keep saying, but this is about the grain of sand. And they say, if you have a handful of sand, let it sift through your fingers, because that's your past. That's all the work that you've done. Get it down to that grain of sand. Look at that single grain of sand in your hand. And that grain of sand represents the last part of the irritant of that boulder that started in this progress and process of you becoming whole. They said, as you hit this grain of sand and you hold that grain of sand or that thought or that emotion in your hand, it can either remain as an irritant, or you can use it for the opportunity, as an oyster would, to create a pearl. The sand, as small as it is, as finite as it is, if it gets in your britches, you know how uncomfortable it can be. Or you can say, I am going to take you grain of sand, and I am going to take all that I've learned from you and all of the irritation that I've experienced, and I'm going to use you to create a beauty, a pearl of wisdom that I can share with others and I can use in my own life. Fascinating, isn't it? I really had to stop, and I kept getting goosebumps and shudders through my body, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how wonderful you are to give us a sneak preview in a way, in a metaphor, of the beauty of how quickly we are evolving in our consciousness. And I found it absolutely inspirational. It gave me courage. It gave me that sense of freedom. I found myself laughing. More importantly, I found myself breathing. And one of the things that they shared when they realized I felt that, they said, every time you hit a boulder, you stop breathing. Every time you stumble on a rock, you breathe rapid and shallow. Every time you look for a pebble, you breathe. And every time you get to the grain of sand, not only do you breathe, but you feel the relief and the humor that you hold inside. Wow, isn't that something for them to be able to share that? So that is the thought for them as we move into the month of September. It's a thought that has been always active. We can act upon it now. But what they're saying is, just keep looking. Just keep willing to do the work. When you get stuck, remember that the goal is the landscape, but it's the sand in the landscape. So anyway, just absolutely fabulous. I just love sharing that with you. And of course, it really shifted my perception of where my life is, because I'm in that same OMG stage, even as an intuitive, that everyone else is. And I'm asking the same things. What the heck is going on? What I want to do is, my lines are full. Thank you, callers. I can't wait to talk to you. But what I would like to do is, I'd like to go ahead and let's take a very quick commercial break. I'm going to come back, and then I just want to work through the callers. So thank you for bearing with the guides and the angels. I'll be right back.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Welcome back, and if you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is a conversation with Carol. What that means is that I'm going to be taking your calls, but oh my gosh, the guides and the angels were very, very chatty this morning and very chatty as they were continuing to share the metaphors in the first half. So I'm going to jump right in and take your calls. Hi, Gwen. Line one, how are you, sweet?
Hey, Carol. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm good, hon. How can I help you?
Well, I guess I was just excited to hear that you're doing this. And so anyway, had a question on my health, general health, and then also left upper thigh. I have just something going on there, like an IT band's holding on or something.
Okay.
I know it's deeper. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so general health, put me in your body. That really helps me. Specific place, we know that we want to work with that that leg thigh. Is there someplace else? I keep picking up there's someplace else very specific that you want me to go.
Probably always neck and hip.
That's good. I'm so glad that you did that. Because the reason that I did that, sweet, is that what's going on in that thigh area actually starts in your neck. And in the spine in that area in the shoulder, and actually it starts a little bit above where your neck and your shoulder comes together. Now that always may be a little bit surprising to people that if they have something going on in their, you know, pelvic floor area or down in their knees or their feet, that it really can start up higher. So one of the things that I'm picking up when I go in, and we're going to talk about this, it says on my screen here, the numbness in the upper and that left thigh. What we're going to do is I'm going to give you kind of an anatomical picture of it. Your right shoulder is dropped. Your left hip is raised. And the muscles in your back are trying to compensate. Now, as I said that, your body came in and goes, oops, now wait, we don't want to, it's not real pronounced to the point where I've got a shoulder that's kind of drooping down to the knee. It's subtle, but it's enough that what it's doing, sweetie, is it's causing your muscles that, you know, and the vertebrae, the muscles are trying to straighten you up. And what they're doing is, if you can take a picture and you can take hands on the back of your spine, the left hand is trying to drop that left hip down so that right shoulder come up. So it's like the muscles, when I start going up in the neck area, I can feel that right muscle in the trapezius up in that cervical vertebrae 3 and 4, which is just above where that neck and shoulder comes together. I've got that right muscle pulling up, and then I've got that left muscle dropping down. As I go down into about an inch and a half below where the neck and shoulder comes together, I have a very interesting dynamics. I have the muscles stabilized. When I go down into the thoracic part, just below the above the shoulder blade, I've got that left muscle pulling up and that right muscle pulling down. So you can see that the muscles are trying to straighten you, and they're trying to straighten you so they will take that pressure off of the spine itself by trying to straighten it. But what is occurring when it gets down into that lower thoracic, when we start that curve in the back and in that lumbar, where we start getting into that sciatic nerve and all the peripheral nerves associated with it, now I find it, the left hip, actually pulling down to try to pull the right shoulder back up. So now what we've got is we've got a dynamics of up, down in the shoulder, balanced. Then we've got it reversed. Now we've got it going a different direction. So what we've got is we've just got a lot of tension in the back. And every time we get that tension, it's compressing the muscles. That compression of the muscles is compressing the nerves, meaning that the nerves are getting the message from the brain about what to do and how to have activity and how to move in the muscles to be able to have the fluidity, the contraction, expansion the way that they need. But what is happening is by the time it's getting down into that sciatic area, into that main nerve, and then the peripheral nerves, the message is being muted as it's coming down the spine based on muscular and based on where it is. And by the time it's getting down into the legs itself to be able to animate the muscles of the legs, the obliques and the glutes and so forth, and then going on down further, it's kind of like that part of the body, and especially in the left side, that part of the body, that message to that nerve is muffled. It sounds like blah, 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 like it's not getting what it needs. It's like little bits and pieces. And as a result, the nerves in that leg don't know how to respond. And then with the compression of the muscles, the toxin, the compression on the nerve up higher, that's why you're getting the numbness.
Now, you said toxin. So I've got toxins.
You want to talk about the toxins?
Sure.
Okay. Left side of the body. Left side of the body is the feminine energy aspect. We flow masculine and feminine in the human body. Right side flows masculine. Left side flows feminine. Masculine energy is is connected with our humanness. Left side in the feminine is connected with our soul. One of the things that feels like you've been trying to do, and I pick it up 3 years specifically, I know that it's been a long process, but in the last 3 years, you feel to me like you've been trying to step forward in doing your soul work as a healer. Is that true?
Yes.
And every time that you step forward, you feel like you're being pulled back. Is that true?
Possibly.
Okay. Do you feel like you get pulled back because of picking up too much emotional charge of other people?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I said emotional charge of other people, now you're carrying that weight of that on your right shoulder. It drops down. Left hip soles trying to pick you up. That's the left hip, causing those muscles to shorten instead of contract. And what it does is it throws you off balance. The numbness part of it is that you are being asked to step beyond the physical, to find your answers, and to take what you get physically. I happen to be one of those physical pebbles that you're touching, and to take what you hear and to go inside. And the first thing is to ask yourself, is what you feel that is holding you back, or there's a fear of stepping into your true healing self and your power to be able to help people heal at a soul level, not physical, at a soul level. Are the emotions, are the fears, are the insecurities that you're experiencing that makes you feel you're disconnected from yourself? That's the numbness. Disconnected from yourself, yours, or does it belong to someone else? And when I do that and I get into your body and I get into the left side and I get into the left glute muscle, wraps around the outside, it comes around the outside of that left leg, wraps around the knee, attaches to the back of the leg itself. The knees themselves are where we hold abandonment issues. But the left knee is self-abandonment as the right knee is. Do you believe on some level, sweetie, or have been led to believe that you are not capable of stepping forward to do this work authentically with that wonderful humor and exuberance that you have to be able to do this work and to experience doing it effortlessly? Or does it have to continue to feel hard? Do you need to continue to struggle. And
I'd like to figure out how to make that transition because the heart and struggle is getting old.
Okay, so here we go. So all of those, you're empathic. I'm sure that you're aware of that. You connect with people emotionally. You can tell where people are emotionally, not only by the, you know, what they say out of their mouth, but you just have this hypersensitivity to emotions and charge. In your humanness and being human, you have really become very adept at looking at the negative emotions. That is the gift of how you connect to be able to be of service. But if the negative emotions become your negative emotions, it stops you in your tracks. So when you, being empathic, just please know that you are going to connect with people at this emotional level. Once you do, you're going to feel them energetically. Once you feel them energetically, you're going to touch their soul. And in touching their soul, you're going to offer insight, whatever that may look like in the now, of how they can free themselves. For you personally, every time you pick up their emotion, as much of a gift as it is, when you're through interacting with them, and it doesn't even have to be clients, it can be family, it can be anybody in the grocery store, it can have a very superficial contact with it. Once you're through with that contact with a person, when you interact either through your eyes or through what comes out of your mouth to share with them, as soon as you're through, you would like to very lovingly pick them off of your shoulder, not brush them off, pick them off, take them and set them down on the ground and say, this is yours and not mine. Oh, I just felt you just shift. You did, didn't you?
Something. It still happened.
Something just happened. So let's go. Say again, please, sweet. I'm sorry.
Tingly. It's like it was happening. Yeah. It didn't just happen. It kind of was a continuous. And it's still, now it's down in the hip.
Now it's down in the hip. Okay, so what we did physically is we released the tension in that neck area. Now what's happening is the messages from the brain that's to animate the legs and the feet and the movement and everything else is those messages are being heard down into that left hip area. Now that will come forward in that tingling. Those are that tingling, the messages, those are healthy messages. The tingling is healthy. The message from the brain that says left foot, I want you to raise yourself up off of the floor, the left foot can do that. Before with the numbness or that interference, that's a way to look at it. Then lifting the foot was like having to go, okay, left foot, lift, 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 lift. And so that's the tingling. The other thing is that whoever you've been carrying on that right shoulder, you just took them off your shoulder, honey. And it's someone very close to you. It's someone that you try consistently to try to help, to try to be able to be of service to them, to cheer them on. You're a wonderful advocate for them. But they tend to get stuck.
Yeah.
They want to get out of being stuck. You give them the tools to do it. Now I just changed my, you heard me clear my throat. That was actually adapting to their vibration. Is that what they're doing is they have an energy of helplessness about them, but they really don't want the help, but they do want the help, but they don't want the help. See the confusion? That's where I started picking up all of this stuff muscularly. Have you identified that person yet?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, I can share it, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So in that particular case, you just took that person off your shoulder. It isn't that you got rid of them or that you don't want them anymore. It's just right now we need to get all of that energy, all of the emotion off your left shoulder so then your body can do what it's designed to do, get you back into balance and be able to come in so you can move forward effortlessly instead of it being so difficult. Are you working with a chiropractor?
No, but if entertained, then I need to go.
Okay. Are you working with an acupuncturist?
I do have one available. Mm-hmm. And last month. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you please continue with the acupuncturist? And if you need to move it up because we had a release to where it's more than once a month, if your finances allow you to do that, the acupuncturist will keep that flow of chi from your brain down into your leg. And then you could maybe look at visiting a chiropractor that does non-force chiropractic that can go in and just work with helping the tension be released off of the spine, vertebrae, vertebrae, vertebrae at a time. And then what you'll find is you'll find the relief that you're looking for. Then you will find that it's easier for you to be mobile, move forward in the work that you want to do.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know what, sweetie? You cannot abandon yourself. Your soul is just too big. It's got too much to do, and it's so full of joy when I touch it. It's like when I touch that left knee, it's kind of like that left knee says to me, oh, my gosh, you're touching my funny bone. That's so funny, Carol. That's really funny, funny. And I find myself just kind of giggling and thinking, oh, my gosh, look at, we're back. We're back. We've got that funny bone and that whole thing.
Oh,
you're
yay.
A healer. You're a healer. You will always be a healer. You're an exquisite healer. You heal at a soul level. If what you do is healing the physical body of others, it isn't that you can't, but if you recognize that you're at a soul level healer, oh, honey, everything's going to flow. Shift the perception.
Thank you.
You are welcome. My pleasure. All right, let's jump in for Lacey. Hi, sweetie.
Hi.
How are you, hon?
Good. Doing good.
Good. How can I help you?
I just have a question about my 3-year-old. She complains about her legs. And
okay.
I was wondering if you can help us out.
Okay. So her complaints vary, don't they, sweetie?
Yes.
And that's part of the confusion that I can, as a mother, being a mother, my daughter's much older, but as a mother, it's difficult for us to really get a sense of pattern of how she's complaining and so forth. Now I'm going to ask a question and then I'm going to put it back into the past.
Okay.
Is she in a brand new pair of shoes?
No, she's not.
Okay. Are these shoes something that are fairly new in the last month?
No.
Okay. I keep picking up that there's something in the shoes that is throwing her stride off, and she's pronating her left ankle. It's turning inward. Have you noticed that?
Okay. No, I haven't really noticed that. She hasn't had any new shoes in a few months. Her feet don't grow very fast.
Okay. Something has changed in the shoes. That's what went immediately. Do we have new shoes here? Okay. Do you notice when she walks that her stride doesn't have a fluidity to it?
Yes.
Does she fall?
Yes.
Does she trip?
Yes.
Okay. The left foot, the left ankle is rotating in a little bit, and it's throwing her off. Instead of the left foot being flat or even turning outward to keep her balanced as she's learning how to, you know, kind of run from point A to point B, that mm-hmm. left ankle is turned in a little bit, and what it's doing is it's putting pressure on the ligament on the inside, that first major ligament on the inside that's attached to the right toe, and mm-hmm. it's also causing what it feels like tingling, or it feels like her legs go to sleep. That's why I'd ask about the different things, is that whatever she's doing in her shoe, rotating in, putting more pressure on that ligament that's closest to the inside, that's attached to that sciatic nerve that comes down through the heel, then splits. One half goes to the little toe, one goes to the big toe. It's putting pressure on that nerve and then all the peripheral nerves, and the ball of her foot gets very tender, the heel gets tender, and then what it does is it makes it difficult for her to be able to really be comfortable in her feet, let alone be able to walk and so forth. One of the things that you might do is you might want to talk to a pediatrician and then just ask them. Now, I'm going to send you there first just to be able to use their knowledge. The pediatrician mm-hmm. feels like a very knowledgeable person. And to have the pediatrician just hold, have her put her heels down and look at the feet and see if we have some pronation that's just slight. It's not a lot, but it's enough to be throwing her off, and seeing if we need to look at shoes that have some correctiveness in them. And again, okay. it what it's doing is, so I need, all of a sudden, it's like I could feel your brain going, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. So let me go in. Skeletally, mm-hmm. she's absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm.
The right, the bones in the left foot are the same size, and the bones in the left leg are the same size as the right side. The hip joint itself, the sacroiliac joint, we don't have a bone that is fitting sloppy in either one of the joints, so we can throw that out. The bones are growing the way that they need to. They are matching the way they need to. We can throw that out. What we have is we have a muscle issue where her muscles are trying to keep her balanced. They're pulling against each other. I take that left foot and I get that tingling. I get that rotation in. And what she's doing is she's trying, her body is trying to compensate, but it's causing her uncomfortableness in her muscles and in the messages that the brain is sending via the nerves.
Okay.
And I think so
she complains that her legs don't work. So that
yes.
makes sense.
So, and they do work, they just don't work optimally. So that's the way to be able to deal with it. My sense is if we just kind of tweaked her shoe, working with the pediatrician, and then working with someone who specializes in orthotics for children. There's some wonderful, beautiful beings out there. All it's going to take is just a little bit that will retrain the muscles, retrain the brain to hold the muscles in that place. There's no need for braces or anything. It's just we need to tweak it, pull that ankle back out, balance those ligaments. That will take the pressure off of the nerve, and then she will have the full animation and movement that she's looking for.
Okay.
The other thing is that, was she breech sweet?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You know, bless this little
ditty bopper. The whole time.
Oh, my God. She just wants to, it's like, I am ready to come through. I want to tap dance through life. I want to do these things. And so some of the things that I'm picking up, if you kind of go in and remember when you were carrying her, is that when she was in that breech state, is that if you kind of look at you anatomically, you're a little bit smaller on your left side than you are on your right. My sense is that something that we're picking up in the sweetie was also what she was carrying. It was when she was actually in the womb, she was just compensating. It's kind of like not having that full, womb floor the way that she needed to.
Uh-huh.
And it just turned it in just slightly enough that she was born with it turned in slightly enough. Once she started crawling, it started to pull out into a position. Once she went into walking, it started to go back and curve in, roll in, and I think that's what you're working with. But I will tell you, she is going to dance circles around people. So I don't know if that's good news or bad news, but honey, she is going to dance circles around people.
Okay, good. Thank you.
She is going to keep you and your husband on your toes. So,
yes.
Yeah. So I really do. You're welcome, honey. I really do think that just with a little bit of a minor adjustment, then we'll be able to get it corrected to the point where this will not be an ongoing problem.
Okay. Thank you.
You are welcome. Oh, right. My pleasure. My pleasure. All right. So let's go ahead. I'm going to try to get Maria in. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Oh, hi. You are amazing, Carol. Thank you so much.
You are welcome, sweetie. I don't have a long time, but let's just go for it. We'll do it as much as we can.
I want to know what you can tell me when I will reunite with the love of my life. He's back in town, but I haven't heard much from him. When do you see us physically together or any kind of contact?
Okay, so what we're going to do is you and I are going to go to your heart. Do you want to contact him?
Yes, very much so.
Okay, I'm going to go because I just hit kind of that metaphor of this morning. I hit a boulder. Are you afraid that you're going to look too eager?
Yes.
Okay. Honestly, what came up and your guys just say, just tell her, what has she got to lose?
Okay.
Just reach out to him.
Okay, I did, and should I be more active?
Okay, more so let's go in. So, you know, without telling a lot of stories, what did your first outreach sound like? What did you say? Hey, I hear you're back in town.
It was a little bit of more communication and no response. So I don't know, is there any hope that we will ever be back together?
Well, why don't you, what came forward is with you is that, and I'm going to ask a why question, so we're going to get some emotions going on here, sweet. So if you're feeling them, that's, I put it there, is that, why don't you ask him, does he want you to communicate with him or do you need to stop? That's a big, deep breath like, oh, my gosh, Carol, you want me to really stop? Yeah, I mean, you really wanted to put it out there, not trying to tell you what to do. But The thing is do you know for sure he's even getting your communications?
Some he does, yes.
Okay, so you are getting the feedback. So where you are is that being in limbo for you, Maria, we've talked before, sweet, is not a good place for you. It never has been, it never is, and it never will be. And if you, when in this case with him, is that I keep getting, just ask her to send an email or send something that basically says, do you want me to continue to reach out to you or shall I stop? Now put it in your own words. Spend some time with that because that's got to be emotionally comfortable with you. If there's a lot of fear around that, because you and I spent time together, we know that this person embodies so many of the qualities, sweetie, you've been looking for a long, long time. We also know from the work that we did together that this person tends to be noncommittal, tends to kind of go into a cave, becomes very easily overwhelmed with things. So we know a lot of history about him. But the question that I keep getting, that I keep feeling in you, is that do you want to continue to put the time into it, or is it better to know, if in fact there isn't a connection, for you to move on? And that's where it feels like it needs to go for you, sweet.
And what am I heading towards? Let go or hope?
Well, no, not letting go. We're not going to go that far because that's kind of that big landscape. What we're just trying to do is we're trying to establish, does he want you to communicate with him or not? And if he doesn't, then we move on. If he does, then the door opens and says, what does that look like to you? How would it work for you? This is what we, and then that gives you the steps that you're looking
for. Does he indicate willingness to continue?
Absolutely. And remember when we talked in the time that we spent together, that one of the real things that you've worked very hard in your own life is that willingness to really give of yourself completely and not hold back. And what you're doing is you're asking him, is he willing to give of himself and not hold back in the patterns that he has in order to meet you at the place where the relationship can define itself and figure out where it goes?
Do you see us physical contact over this weekend or Labor Day?
Now, before I did, and I'm not hesitating, but I'm just straightforward. I'm very confused. Are you very confused?
Yes.
Going to ask you another question. Do you want the contact with him really?
Yes.
Gain some clarity, sweet. Go down and start looking for the pebbles. Go down. Do you want the contact? What would that contact look like? What are you looking beyond the contact? Do you want to have physical connection with him? What would that look like? Would it be lunch? Would it be dinner? Would it be a cocktail with each other? Go through and kind of take it in that minute pebble by pebble, and I think that's going to help you get the clarity. But the worst thing for you, my love, is to be on the fence playing the waiting game. We know this about when we worked with you. That's not a healthy place for you to be. So, not hedging, but if you're confused about what you want that future and outcome to be, I'm confused what I want it to, how I can help you. Again, not a hedge. It's just truly the way that I connect energetically. The more clear you become, the better I become. Sorry, Maria, darling, I ran out of time, but boy, did we get a lot of stuff in there. You are a very beautiful light, honey. You have lots of love to offer anyone. And, you know, if he doesn't want it, we're going to call somebody else in because you're very special. I want to thank all of you for joining me today. It's been a wonderful opportunity to share what the guides and the angels have, sneak preview of where we're going in the future of 2013 and where we are now. So I encourage you to please just take the time and be sure that you're in your riverbed looking at your beautiful pebbles and that you can move forward with ease and grace and effortlessness. Thank you so much for joining me. It's been wonderful to be on the air with you. I will see you next week. Thanks.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.